letter makes clear, he, though he was rich, became poor for our sakes. That's the grace of God working through him, and instantly goes to the proof of God's Spirit in you in the Corinthian letter is giving once again. First, the ark, which is Christ himself. Second, the mercy seat, Christ's gift, God's gift to us, the gospel. Thou shalt also, which lifts it on a parallel with Christ's gift, the table of showbread. Go to Leviticus. Read it some other time. 24. What is on this table of showbread? Fifth verse. Thou shalt take fine flour, bake 12 cakes thereof. 2 tenths deal shall be in one cake. Set them in 2 rows, 6 on a row upon the pure table before the Lord. Thou shalt put pure frankincense upon each row. Every Sabbath he shall set it in order before the Lord continually. Being taken from the children of Israel, this is an offering from the people to God. As the manna was from God to them, out of the manna that he gave them, his provision, this was to be an offering from the people, taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. That's why it's not a type of Christ. It's an offering from the people to God. You go to every theological school in the city. Every commentator will say this table of showbread is a type of Christ. Well, I want to tell you, if it's a type of Christ, it would have the same breadth and the same length, not just the same height. If it were a type of Christ, there'd be no shortage in the dimensions. Whereas the ark has longer dimensions in length and breadth, if this were a type of Christ, you wouldn't have the shortened dimensions. Enough said on that. I'll get more into it later. Secondarily, it's an offering from the people to God, out of what he provided. Once more, the culture that is dominated through lack of study of God's word by the prince of the power of the air, the culture is pressed in to move giving into secondary level when God put it first. Why, every commentator, the blind leading the blind, says the table of showbread's a type of Christ. Christ was never an offering from the people to God. That ought to settle it itself. It shall be Aaron's and his sons, and they shall eat it in a holy place. For it is most holy unto him of the offerings of the Lord. How about that? I thought praying was. I thought sanctifying was. What is the most holy unto God of the offerings of the Lord made by fire by a perpetual statute? As David was given a perpetual kingdom, and once God said that, he must make it happen. God has made the table of showbread the most holy unto the Lord by a perpetual statute. That means in Glendale, Los Angeles, 1987, this first day of May. What am I, 88. And what am I saying? Wherever you turn in God's book, giving is center stage, reason for being, function of the church, central to the purpose of God, and the product of his church can only be according to God's will if they're givers. Now, I'm right where I was last Sunday. Just took a more circuitous route getting here to where I could just concentrate on these elements of the table of showbread. Suffice it to say, this table of showbread, with its coverings, went everywhere they went. You ain't gonna get away with it. Meeting the budget today and relaxing for May. Well, are you ever going to stop talking about giving? Well, I doubt it now that I've gotten into it so deeply. I think through May. Everywhere. The whole church world loves to look at the children of Israel marching with that marvelous Ark of the Covenant out there. Look, Christ is with them. How they hate to see that other badger skin thing on the shoulders of the priest that goes through the scarlet, that bought our access to God, that puts his divine breath of the blue of eternity on our gifts that come every week. How I would like to leave that out of the trip, but every day that we walk in this journey, that means every day of May, we're going to talk about giving until it settles in that this is the most central core behavior of being a Christian. You got it?
Yes, sir.
Well, then, come on, ushers. You going to do this every Sunday? Well, probably not. Because you then will get so smart that you divide in half what you were going to give anyway. Then if I forget to take the second offering, God will be shorted. I'm not stupid. I got a smart crowd. But for today is last Sunday. To put the exclamation mark on the message, I'm taking a second offering, including you who are watching out there. Get out your checkbook. The address is P.O. Box 1. Put it on the screen, wherever the engineers are. Los Angeles, California. Don't just be hearers of the word. God loves the hilarious giver. Get your money out. Same song, and like Jesus, who watched him give at the treasurer, I'm going to watch, and the doors will not open. They are now locked. With an usher who can break it open in case of fire, until this offering is finished. Now proudly march, ushers, like you're carrying the table of showbread. Come on. Same song. Storehouse meet. Let's give God's way for God's reasons with an understanding that most of the church hasn't had for 2,000 years. Sing while I watch this giving.
Yeah. I expect to be live today. You'll have plenty of time to get your lunch. I'll not be live. We'll play this message on 56 at 2 o'clock, message only. That means about 3 to 3:30. We'll be live this afternoon. I want Voices of Faith there. We may stay straight through as we finish out April and start May aright. For 2,000 years, Satan has managed to hide this message. And when you think about it, Satan's most successful encroachment upon the mind of Christ and the purposes of the church has been what Satan's been able to do to put the church on the defensive about giving and to get the church itself involved in raising money wrong ways. So maybe you can appreciate the part that you will have at the judgment seat of Christ. You that have hung tough and made this ministry possible until your pastor, in his own wars with the overwhelming attacks of Satan that has made it so difficult to preach this message in the consistent way in which we're now doing it on Sunday morning. Maybe you'll understand what your portion will be when the rewards accrue at the judgment seat of Christ, because you made this ministry possible and this message that no one else is preaching. I do not have the slightest fear of equivocation on this subject. There is not a preacher in America, not a preacher in the world, not a missionary in this world, and not a single one since Christ that has preached this message and turned the light on from God's word to his people on the role that giving has in God's plan for his people. No message we've ever preached is as unique and as broad in its need. And you can go your way with wonder that the instincts and the witness of the Spirit made you attach yourself to a ministry that God has chosen to unveil this message closest to his heart in these last days when Satan is marshaling his greatest attack against the church and its use of God's money. You ought to feel good as you go home with that. Now, be on the telephone about 3 or 3:30 as we're live today, and the song is, "If God Be For Us, Who Can Be Against Us," as you go your way victorious.
King's House. For information on how to obtain an audio copy of this program or any other of Dr. Scott's teaching tapes, write Dr. Gene Scott, Post Office Box 1, Los Angeles, California, 90053. That's Dr. Gene Scott, P.O. Box 1, Los Angeles, California, 90053. The number of this program is VF 584. That's VF 584. And join us again next time for Sunday at the King's House. This program was produced by Dr. Gene Scott.
Don't everybody wear two sets of glasses? I used to get on an airplane when I traveled all the time around the world and couldn't carry much luggage, or didn't want to because I was always moving fast and too much risk of losing it. And I'd be getting off a plane and going usually instantly to some speaking engagement. So I'd try to preserve a little bit of a press in my suit coat. So I'd get on the plane and sit down and turn it around backwards, which you can stay warm with your jacket and wear your jacket backwards and sort of save the press job. It's always amusing to see the stewardesses come down the aisle and they'd look at me and I'd say, I always wear it this way. Doesn't everybody wear two glasses? Now, I hope, I haven't had a chance to look at the stack, but I hope you've been doing what the crawl asked you to do. And I hope you listen at the message and understand and are starting to get excited as you realize from God's word how right you've been. What the Spirit made easy for you to do, I hope you're feeling a bit secure in the proof of your place in God. But as I said at the close of the message, and all this week, as we produce a new tape series on giving, there'll be some footnotes to today's message as I finish the teaching on the table of showbread throughout this week as a footnote to today's message. The simple message is, and it's a lost message, and Satan has won a major victory by depriving God's people of an understanding of the role God intended giving to have in his redemptive plan. I've said over and over again, if there's something that God intends for great blessing for his people, you can count on Satan to camp out in that territory and turn people off on it. Wrong use producing no use instead of being corrected by right use. Now those that have ears to hear and eyes to see are going to respond to the message. And we set out a couple of days ago saying we needed 120,000 to close out April and begin May correctly. And that 120,000 had to come into the King's House today or be put in the mail by tonight. Well, tonight hasn't yet arrived. Not even on the East Coast. Now it looks like, is this current, Mike, or you got some more to put on it? Looks like 84,000 of the 120 is pledged. Is that the way you calculate it? That means we got 36,000 to go? Is that the way you would add and subtract? 36,000 must be found today to be put in the mail by midnight tonight for us to end April victorious and start May on keel. Now, nobody should expect me to apologize for continuing on the giving theme after today's message. Every single person out there that heard the message is in debt for the teaching, and I want every single one of you on the phone telling me, if you aren't already in this total, and that means Friday, if you haven't called Friday, Saturday, or today and told us something you have put in the mail this weekend, or you're going to put in the mail before midnight tonight, now's the time to do it, including those here in the Los Angeles basin that can bring it here. We had asked for 50 to give 1,000. 27 have given 1,000. That means we got 23 to go for. That's about the way it is, about half large pledges and half smaller pledges, a little on the top side with the larger ones needed now. You've slacked off on putting the flag on the map. Now, this can include May pledges, May commitments being paid today, but we're looking for 36,000, of which 23,000 needs to be in commitments of $1,000 or more. Now, you're smart. You know what I'm asking. Let's get on the telephone and do it. Talk to me now. Every phone busy, and let's get the job done. Sit by a phone that isn't ringing. Obviously, there'll be more local phones ring than national phones this afternoon, though I would expect that the people who watch by satellite dish should be ringing the phones from across the nation. But don't sit by a phone that isn't ringing. Go where the local phones are, and let's get them busy, folks. Come on, I warned you in church that we would be doing this afternoon. I expect everybody that was in the church service this morning to be on the phone now talking to me, even though you called in the last 15 minutes. Now I want you to call again.
Thank you.
Now, Hollywood, King's Tither 250, and King's House 27, 124. You just wrote me a message about an alabaster box. I need you to specify. Give us a phone number, because we need to call you about something and specify what the alabaster box was. So come on, Hollywood, King's Tither 250, that's early on. You got to give me more specifics. Now, I'm not at all pleased unless every phone is jammed up. If you don't do anything else, you tell me your reactions to the message today. And if it didn't enthuse you to give, you're probably a lost cause. Get on the telephone. Telephone. Your response to today's message this afternoon. If it's nothing but to say, thank God I've made my commitments in April, and every single person should make their commitment for the month of May today. Over and over I've said, why should I have to go through 3 weeks to get people to tell me what they know they're going to do the very first day of the month? Now, this is the first day of the month. Tell me what you're going to send in for the whole month of May. At the same time, tell me what you're putting in the mail by midnight tonight. Get on telephone. Friday, that means not counting Saturday. 526 first-time givers this month. And that means if the old-time givers come through each month consistently, we'll reach the 7,000 armor bearers who contribute something each month by August 14th. Still looking for 700 who'll join the Furious Fund, giving 10,000 by August 14th. But right now, the goal is, what are you sending in by midnight tonight, putting in the mail, or what did you put in the mail yesterday or today that you haven't yet called in and reported since Friday? As we go for victory at the end of April and victory going into May. Santa Monica, I want to commit for the month of May. Dr. Scott's making a giver out of me slowly but surely. Well, the Holy Spirit is responding to the word in you. I used to be one of those, quote, where's the money going to? But I'm getting the message. You know how lucky you are. Most of those kind never get the message. You're a fortunate one. That question makes about as much sense as the Israelites saying, as they stood outside the tabernacle, unable to see inside the holy place where Aaron and his sons, the priests, would eat the showbread each week, who ate what? That went right by some of you. The question, where's the money go, makes about as much sense as the children of Israel standing outside the tabernacle. In the first place, a wall over 7 feet high of white linen typifying the righteousness of God versus their sins stood between them and the tent inside, and all they saw was brass pegs on the ground outside and brass chains running down that told them that judgment was their lot. Except for God's grace, they were dead. One door of entrance by God's grace, as they followed the silver chain of redemption around the top, and through that door into the outer court, they got a glimpse of the place of sacrifice that gave them the right to live again, the labor of cleansing. Then the real good stuff was inside a tent they didn't dare look in. If they parted the curtain to walk in, they were dead. And after all, they had given the gold. And all the gold was inside that tent, they assumed. They didn't know for sure. They never, ever got to see it again. That was the gold they'd brought out of Egypt. And after years of slavery, they and their parents, that was hard-earned money. Never mind, it was borrowed from the Egyptians by God's grace, who put so much misery on the Egyptians they'd loan them all this to get rid of them. But once it was in their hands, it's amazing how the carnal mind can rationalize, this is mine. Years of slavery, to 120 years of slavery, depending upon the variations in when the Pharaoh from Upper Egypt that knew not Joseph came down and conquered the descendants of Joseph and his brethren, the descendants of Jacob, named Israel, thus the children of Israel. All that bondage, but just payment for that slavery that they got they borrowed the money from the Egyptians, and God drowned the Egyptians in the Red Sea so they couldn't collect. Marvelous way to get rid of your creditors. Now they're packing all that gold and silver. Moses comes down out of the cloud, and the Lord said, speak unto the children of Israel and take me an offering. Now once they get through the outer fence of the tabernacle and passed the laver of cleansing, the rest of us walled off. I ain't never get to see that gold again. It's gone. I mean, we know from the Bible about the details of the laver of cleansing. I mean, the mercy seat, solid gold. Ark of the Covenant, covered in solid gold. Golden lampstand. How do we know we can trust those sons of Aaron? I mean, they spend a lot of time in there behind that curtain. Bad enough they're eating the showbread. What about all that gold? Well, I don't know if it's there or not. I need an accounting. Who are these sons of Aaron's? They just lucked out because Moses argued with God, saying he couldn't speak until God finally saddled him with Aaron. Aaron never earned his position.